first is mujahadatun nafs, that of struggling against the self. The idea that there's an internal conflict going on, so that you actually have to struggle with yourself. And part of struggling with yourself is struggling with the passions. And the passions, again, are what? Your bestial nature. And so what you struggle that with is with your reason. And that is why when somebody is attempting not to do something that is wrong and struggle against those impulses, what he's using is a higher power. And the higher power is reason, is the aql. And that's why the essence of intellect in Arabic means that which constrains you or which prevents you from doing something that will lead you astray. Aqala ya'qilu means to stop, to prevent. And the other Arabic word they use for intellect is nuha, which comes from that which refuses or that which prevents. Again, yenha. All right. So the intellect, the essence of the intellect is that it prevents a human being from going astray. Now those people that don't listen to the intellect, Allah says about them, in hum kal an'am, they're like animals. But then he says, but hum adall, they're even more astray. And the reason for that is because animals do not do things that harm them. If an animal knows there's harm in something, it will avoid it. If an animal sees fire, it will flee from the fire. If an animal sees something that threatens it, it will either defend itself if it doesn't see any other venue, or if it, by its nature, the threat is something that it deems within its power. Like a lion, if it's threatened by a lesser animal, aggressive animal, the lion will tend to fight because it's a lion and it knows that it can overpower. So the idea of human beings resorting to the bestial element in the self is a capitulation. It's the idea of surrendering the self to something that is low. And that is why if you look at the human body itself, the higher organs, the heart and the intellect, are on the upper body. And the lower organs, the stomach and the genitals, are on the lower body. And so the idea is that this is the way the human being should be. He should be, the ruling force in the human being should be his heart and his intellect. And the subjugated force should be the bestial nature. What happens with human beings is that they become overcome by their bestial nature. And so hunger and craving, which is the essence of desire, overwhelms the intellect. And so they begin to want things that are harmful for them. And this is why they're worse than animals, because an animal will only take what it needs. Lions do not go out and slaughter. They take what they need and they leave the rest. Maybe for another day, but if they're not hungry, they're not going to kill 10 zebras. They will kill what they need to kill. And that's the difference between a human. The predations of humans are not needs. So when an animal, a predator animal, attacks another animal, it attacks out of need, not out of want or desire. And so this is very different. And there's only a few animals that appear to be unprovoked. Sharks will attack unprovoked, and so will certain snakes. There's a few snakes, and there's a baboon that will attack unprovoked. But it's very rare in the animal kingdom for an animal to attack unprovoked. So the idea, now, all of sentient creatures, creatures that have emotion and certainly intellect, human beings, have a self-defense mechanism. It is part of human nature to defend yourself. If you fall, your reaction is to put your arm out. You don't fall on your face. Human beings will not do that. In fact, one of the first things they teach you in martial arts is to fall properly, because you tend to want to put your hand out and break your wrist. So they teach you to learn how to fall in a way that's actually not going to harm you. But the impulse is to brace yourself, is to defend yourself. The same with if somebody begins to attack you, the thing to do is to cover your face, to protect your face. If somebody throws a blow at you, if you just stand there and don't defend yourself, something is wrong with your nervous system. It's not functioning. So self-defense is a human, it's actually ingrained in us to defend ourselves. And that is why every civil law on the planet recognizes the right to self-defense. There's no law that does not, whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim, every law recognizes that a human being has a right to defend himself.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
The
just talk about Bison. Sagetje Zuma after a beautiful Isha you had, and wherever you are in the land of the Makkah Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I hope that you are spiritually focused and enjoying the presentation and the program this evening. Let's welcome you all again with a hearty Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you're listening to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf Hansen and giving you many points, and I hope you've taken that in. And our topic this evening, what makes humans different from animals? Because when you look around you, you notice that the world, mostly people are going back into the mode of Jahiliyyah, secularism, devil worship, all these things coming to the fore, taking away the spirituality and taking away you from the focus of focusing on our Creator and getting our proximity that much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Joining us to discuss the topic this evening, he's a Medina graduate, he's a businessman, he's an alim also. Sheikh Hamida is also a humanitarian. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this fine, beautiful evening, Sheikh Hamida?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Shafat. Alhamdulillah, we're doing good this evening. Allah is taking care of us and still sustain us for the day. You know, you never know whether we're going to get another sustenance for tomorrow. But alhamdulillah, for today, we make excess shukr for Allah, for what He has done for us for the day. Alhamdulillah.
You know, Sheikh Maida, you talk about sustenance and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in infinite mercy, how He provides for the birds, the bees, the animals, you know, in the jungle. And they know at certain time we must get up, we must go out early in the morning, go do our hunting, get our food, and the sustenance is there. And you know, some of them, when you get up early in the morning, you hear the birds chirping, you see the sun rising, everything, you know, according to divine decree. But listening to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf Hansen, you know, putting the preamble before our show, what did you make of his, 4 minutes on Nasiha, Sheikh Hamida?
You know, Shafat, I think the Sheikh has spoken quite eloquently in a lot of things, you know, talking about the shape of a human being, that you stand up and the vital organs, the brains and the rest of that is upright, you know. That is to say, man should be full of wisdom, man should be a true leader, man should lead by example, man should obey Allah's Father, man should not go against Allah's Father, man should be just, man should be good. You know, really, that just takes me off the grid completely, you know, because, I mean, that is what we should be doing as human beings. And in talking about that, you just spoke about the animals, how Allah sustains for them. You know, it just reminded me of the hadith of Nabi Muhammad, where he speaks about, you know, if you have faith and true yakin in Allah's Father, definitely He will sustain you in every form or in every way possible He can sustain you. And He gives an example to us, like, you know, example of the birds, as you said earlier. He says, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطيور تغدو خماسا وتروح بطانا. It says, if you had firm yakin in Allah was what as it was supposed to be done, Allah was going to sustain you the same way sustaining the birds. They will leave in the morning with an empty stomach, and when they come back, they come with food, full of stomach, and then they come with some excess to give to the little ones in the nest.
Sheikh Maida, well said there. And also, you know, you talk about the physiology of human beings, the upper level, the brains, the heart, the lungs, and all these things, you know, when people look at it, they say the face, you know, say, hey, look at the noor he has. The brain does all the thinking, and, you know, gray matter being fed with the right information will get you, you know, thinking sharply and more deeply. But they say most of the time human beings do not even use the faculty of reasoning. They don't use the brain power. So it's important for us to, you know, stimulate the brains. And some of the methods that we do through is reading the Noble Quran and performing our 5 daily salah and many other things. But, you know, looking at the human being and looking at the physiology, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's created us here, you know, as His vicegerent on earth. But sadly, Sheikh Maida, many of us are deviating of being or not taking the amana of being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vicegerent, and we're behaving sometimes worse than animals on this earth. Perhaps your comments?
You know, Shafa, that's just a true actually a reflection of a human being today. I mean, we totally gone against the commands of Allah. So just to give a good example, if we read Surah Al-Anfal, Quran 8, verse 67, where Allah says, حتى يسخن في الأرض يريد عرض الدنيا والله يريد الآخرة والله عزيز حكيم. Allah says it is not for a prophet or a Nabi that he should have prisoners of war and free them with ransom until he had made a great slaughter among his enemies in the land. You know, and Allah says you desire the good of this world mostly by correcting the money of ransom and whatever that you can get from the captives. But Allah desires for you the Akhirah, you know, and Allah is almighty, all wise. So in this case, I mean, he's talking about that. Our Nabi Sallam, all the Anbiya, when they stood up on the course of Allah, they never wanted any fame or anything for this world, but they did it for the Akhirah. But today, when you do things, we do it for the ransom of this dunya and forgetting what we have in the Akhirah. I mean, this has gone so wrong completely. And even if you look at Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah says, again, that's in verse 43 to 44. He says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفْأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. He says, oh, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you seen him who has taken all his, who has taken his creator, Allah, as his own vain desires? He made his own vain desires as a creator. You know, would you then be a wakil, talking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a disposer of his efforts or affairs on the day of Qiyamah, will be watching over him. You know, so this just tells you that definitely we have deviated completely from the will of Allah, and we need to pull back and understand that, you know, our vain desires are not our creator. You know, there is one creator. That's where also it comes to saying, you know, we need to understand the meaning of the word, true meaning of the word, inshallah. If we can understand that shafaat, the meaning of the word inshallah, that's a little word, definitely will never deviate, will never go wrong. Because we know what happens tomorrow if we miss out on a business deal, if we miss out on something, we know that Allah did not will that for us to happen. But that word inshallah, we put it one side, or else we've given it not fair meaning, but we've given a meaning. If you want to ignore somebody, we use that word as actually the key way to say, no, inshallah, I'll do it. That's where you ignore somebody. But if we understand the true meaning of that, definitely we'll be standing there knowing where we're coming from and understanding how we became human. And that's where we understand to say, you know what, we have to be there and do good and not to be killing other people, to be excess in doing things. You must remember, as it's mentioned there, to say, look at the animals. You know, they never attack until and unless they're provoked. Or maybe there's a need to do that. But without any need, you can see even when you watch National Geographic, you find the animals, the lions are lazy sleeping, and the zebras and the rest of that impalas around them, they're not catching them. Not because they've got no strength, but because they're full and they only attack and kill whenever there's a need to do that.
Yeah, you made a very valid point there indeed. You know, animals, as you said, the lion will only attack because he's hungry and he wants to fulfill his hunger, and he won't go and cause, you know, mayhem and pandemonium in his vicinity or in the jungle. But you get insan, you know, all over the world today, you look at the different spots of hot spots in the world, with war, maiming, killing, people are in starvation, you know, genocide being perpetrated. You know, it started from Qabil and Habil, Sheikh Maida, and that's when, you know, brothers hating brothers, you know, families not getting along well, and you notice that it's getting even more rife during this time. Human beings don't care for each other. They don't even have respect for each other, you know, disabusing or not respecting each other. What are your comments, Sheikh Maida?
You know, Sharif, on that, I'll take you straight to Surah Al-Jumu'ah. That's Quran 62, verse number 5. To say Allah has given us the guidance, has given us the Quran, has given us our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the teacher, to teach us the true meaning of the Quran. Then we chose to do something else. And Allah gives an example of those in the past and us, which actually carry the same meaning. Allah says, after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. Allah Ta'ala says the parable or the likeness of those who are entrusted with the obligation of the Torah, the same we have been entrusted with the obligation of the Quran al-Karim to obey his commandments and practice his laws. But subsequently, we fail to actually to uphold those obligations. And Allah says, it is as a parable or likeness of a donkey which carries huge burdens of books, but understands nothing from those books. How bad is the example of those who deny the true proofs, the evidences, verses, and signs of the and the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, Allah ta'ala does not like or does not guide the people who are walimun or those that are wrongdoers and disbelievers. So if you look at this, we actually fall in the same category. We are Muslims, we understand the Quran, we understand the rules, we understand even the pattern of actually the rules and commands when it comes to war fighting. But unfortunately, we're using the same, you know, an Islamic ways of doing a look at what is happening, bombing Syria, Yemen, and the rest of that. You know, it's a Muslim bombing another place. You know, they're killing children, women, and the rest of that. Really, it is uncalled for. So if you look at this, really, and let's just put it straightforward to say, we are like donkeys because we got the books that should be guiding us, but we're not using them for guidance.
So now, Sheikh Maidan, you're tickling my brain there when you spoke about the parables in the Quran. And, you know, in the Quran, the parables are used so extensively in a variety of forms and conveying many themes. And according to some scholars, Sheikh Maidan, you know, they say, it is not the instructive stories, but rather the cognitive role that they play to illustrate abstract religion and to make the unfamiliar appear familiar that makes them important. They are meant to teach us moral lessons, and usually the figures involved are a little important as, you know, more than attention. You look at the fly, you look at the bee, you look at the trees, and these are parables, and perhaps, you know, Sheikh Maidan, take a guess. How many parables are there in the Quran? Take a guess. I'm not holding you to it. But
I want to give you the correct figure, but there is quite plenty of them where Allah is showing us in different ways. Obviously, maybe you might have quite a figure for me, you know, which is good also to learn, you know.
Hey, you turn it. Okay. There are 39 parables in the Quran, and each parable, as you know, the scholars say, It may look like the fly. It looks insignificant, but there's a parable. There's a story in it. You know, thunder and lightning. There's stories in that. So looking at all these, you look at the ant, and perhaps you could be talking on that. But the Noble Quran, Sheikh Maidan, is such a powerful, powerful book that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has given us. A book that we can reflect on, and inshallah, you know, even take these parables and talk to youngsters, motivate them, give them a story time. But, you know, very rarely we see books like this being on the shelves, Sheikh Maidan.
You know, Sheikh, actually, I say we are adopted kind of different lifestyle altogether. You know, we don't like to be told the truth. So that happens even when we meet friends that speak to us the truth and reality, we try to avoid them. So, I mean, if you can avoid a friend because it's straightforward, what do you think, are you going to have time from the Quran al-Karim? Because the Quran is more straightforward than anybody else, than anything else. It gives you the information that you require, that you need. Not what you want, but what you need. What you want is something, but the Quran gives you what you need. Because your need and your ultimate goal as a Muslim is to go to Jannah. So if we need and we want that Jannah, and we desire definitely, the Quran is a book. And as you said, you know, there's good parables that are there. You know, even the mosquito has been mentioned in the Quran. You know, even the ants are mentioned in the Quran. You know, all these are parables that Allah want us to learn from there. Their functionality, how do they function? How do they work around? How do they go about living their lives? You know, that all tells you that, you know, Allah is showing us that this is what we should be doing. And if you look at the other difference, you know, as human beings and animals, that you must remember, we still have to stand up on the scale on the day of judgment. And animals, there's no scale for them, really, for this dunya to save us. But now we've turned, instead of being in this dunya to be saved by the animals, but we've turned to be animals, yet we have to stand on scale for that.
Yes, Sheikh Maidan, you know, a fascinating An-Nahl. You look at the story of the bee in the Noble Quran. And also, you know, if you do comparative religion, in the Bible it says, eat thou honey, my son. But in the Noble Quran it says, verily in honey there is shifa, there is cure. Alhamdulillah. It's good to look at that and imagine from the belly of the bee, you get this beautiful honey that gives you shifa, Sheikh Maidan. And perhaps a question to pose here is, you know, inside supposed to be the best of creation, is Allah's vicegerent on earth. But why does he go against the grain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when he makes a mistake, he blames shaitan for it. But we as insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the choice. You know, we have the gift of choosing good from evil. But why do we always pass the buck on and say, oh, because shaitan made me do that? I mean, in the court of Allah, I mean, it cannot hold any weight, Sheikh Maida.
No, definitely one carry anyway, because given, you know, that phrase, that last ayah that we recited from Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse number 5, where Allah says, you know, a parable of those that actually were given obligations of the Torah, which is the same obligation of the Quran and Kareem to follow its rules and commandments, and we go against it when things go wrong, we start blaming, well, it was shaitan. No, shaitan will never be there. Even the day of Qiyamah, shaitan will stand one side and ask you, did you see my face? Can you actually describe me, what clothes was I wearing that day when I told you to do wrong? I mean, you won't have an answer. So you say, no, you followed your nafs. You know, if you follow your nafs to do wrong, definitely you'll be deviated. But if you put back that wrong spells from your heart, from your nafs, and say, this is wrong, and I won't do it, I have to do what is right, definitely you safeguard it.
I tell you, Sheikh Maida, really a pleasure having you this evening on the platform of the Madka Sahaba. Perhaps your parting words are this evening?
Sheikh, my parting words would be, you know, clearly from the Quranic point of view, if you look at the ayahs that have been recited, the main difference between animals and human is wisdom and the ability to think and also to do things wisely. If a human does not think and is not to discover the truth, then practice upon the truth, abandon evil and shameful actions, he or she is not a human but an animal.
Well, Sheikh Maida, you really summed that up beautifully. You spoke about wisdom. We have the ability to think. And then, oh, insan, realize that you are a human being. You are Allah's finest creation on earth, and do the right thing. Sheikh Maida, you have a blessed evening ahead. Inshallah, we'll talk to you next week. This time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir, that was our Sheikh Maida. Alhamdulillah, already enjoyed that interaction with him. And it's time for us to go for a break. When we get back, we'll be joined by Maulana Salim Karim and the significance of polishing the heart. Dil ko chamka do ji. Let's go for a break.